The average contribution into a 401k plan held at Fidelity, according to a study done in 2018, was 13.2%. Many Christian investors are losing out on free money at their jobs because they don't know how their 401k retirement plan works at work. But not you, because you follow me, A.B. Ridgway, Mr. Christian Finance himself, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. With over a decade of experience and a certified private wealth advisor professional, I am here to help you answer all of your retirement questions so you can be rich and righteous. If you're like most Christian investors, when you think retirement planning, you first think about your 401k plan offered at your employer. After all, it's the most common type of retirement plan out there. However, 401k plans can be complex, and it's not always easy to understand exactly how these plans work. I mean, there's contribution limits, there's withdrawal rates and penalties, and today we're really going to focus on the withdrawal portion of the 401k. If you want to learn more about 401ks, make sure that you subscribe, because we're going to be talking about 401k for the next few episodes. And today we're going to focus on the withdrawal. We could talk about contributions from your employer, which at the moment, according to Fidelity, is around 6%. And the average investor is contributing about 7%. So that puts you around 13% of extra savings that you're making towards your retirement. Some people set it and forget it, but we'll talk about in a future episode how much you should be contributing and how much maybe you need to be withdrawing when you are retiring. Now, what is a 401k? Did you know that a 401k is not an investment? And I'm going to say this once again. Did you know that 401k is not an investment? You cannot invest into a 401k. A 401k is actually a tax code and is used to identify the tax advantage retirement account. So when you say, I'm going to contribute to my 401k, you really mean I'm going to contribute into my 401k, because you still need to choose the investments you are going to invest in. And that is very crucial. I come across a lot of individuals who invest into retirement accounts and 401ks, and they come to me and say, Mr. Ridgway, my money's not making money. Now, it's still there. I'm not losing any money, but I'm not making any money. When I look at their statement, all of their money is in cash. That means it's really a glorified savings account. They haven't invested anything so their money can potentially grow. And that is one of the biggest mistakes a lot of Christian investors make. So when you look at your statement, look at how much cash you're actually invested in and if you're actually investing into an investment. So why is this account tax advantage? Because when you get paid, you have an opportunity to place a portion of your check into this account, and up to certain limits, they're not considered taxable income in the year they are contributed. For example, if you made $100,000 in 2023, and you contribute $10,000 into your 401k plan, in 2024, excluding everything else, you would only pay taxes on $90,000 of income. And that $10,000, it gets to grow tax-free every year until the year you take it out. Then it's taxed as ordinary income. And hopefully, the year that you actually take it out, you plan for it, and it's in a year where your tax implication is lower than it would be today. So for example, if in 2024, your tax rate is 28% and the year you took it out after retirement was 14%, you would hypothetically save half on taxes. Now, who wouldn't want to save half on their taxes by delaying distribution? That's where financial planning comes in. We determine what you need in the current year and try to delay distributions in future years where the taxes may be lower. And this is where an accountant will come in. Now, I believe in having a team, a financial advisor, an accountant, and a lawyer. They're going to identify what you paid in the past, what you potentially could pay in the future. And as a financial advisor, I do all the execution. I do the buys and the sells to make sure that comes into fruition. Now, in most cases, you choose the percentage of your salary that you want to contribute, and your employer can automatically put it away for you. One of the best things is that your employer will do what they call a match. And this is where we're getting this 13% from. When you get hired on, it is part of your total compensation package. This is where you are giving basically free money for contributing into your retirement account. So let's say that your employer says, you know what, Mr. Ridgway, you can contribute up to 6% into your retirement account. I go, great. I don't have to pay taxes on this money and I can defer taxes. But your employer goes, but wait, because you've contributed, we're going to contribute up to 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe even 6% of what you put in. So you're telling me if I put in 6 and you put in 6, technically I get 12? Yes, you get 12, and half of it is free money from your employer. How great is that? That is how you're going to increase the money that you make. So you're asking me, well, why doesn't everyone contribute to their 401k? Because everybody's under this misconception that 401ks are evil, or that this is not a good way to save. But in my mind, if you take the money out of your check and put it into a savings account that is paying 0.000 something, right? They're paying nothing at the time. And you can put it into an account that's actually going to give you free money and match exactly what you put in. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But once again, these are things that normally people don't brag about. No one brags about the percentages at their employer where they're getting free money. A lot of people don't even know that they can even get free matching in their 401ks. But before you decide to throw half of your check into your 401k, here are some important things you need to know. 1, these are retirement accounts. The maximum benefit is when you reach retirement age. As of 2024, it is 59.5 and 55 years old if you are separated from your company. Not to be confused with Social Security for retirement age, which is around 67 years old, depending on when you were born. 2, any withdrawals made from that account before the age of 59.5 or 55 years old, if you're separated from your company, may result in a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you don't meet certain exemptions. 3, contributions are tax deferred, not tax free. And 4, the contribution limits. In 2024, employer contribution limits are $23,000. Catch-up contribution limits for individuals age 50 and older are $7,500. Maximum employee and employer contributions cannot exceed the lesser of $69,000 for those under 50, $76,500 for those 50 and up, or 100% of employee compensation. So this seems like a no-brainer, right? But what do you do when you want to get your money out of a 401k? Maybe an emergency comes up, or maybe you're retired, you're done with work, you're ready to go, and you want to get your money. What is the best way to get your money out? Some people think just put it into a savings account, but I want to warn you. In my experience, people can be stubborn, and sometimes you can't stop them from their own stubbornness. When people want their money, people want their money. When I was taking water safety, I was taught that if a person is not willing to calm down, listen to your instructions, then you have to let them go. Because if they keep kicking and frailing and splashing water, both of you will drown. And that is exactly what happened to a client that I knew. They drowned. Well, financially, that is. But this emotional financial decision-making is one of the fastest ways to lose hundreds, if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in seconds. I remember as clear as day. I was in my office, and he comes in smiling, and I stand up to shake his hand, and he sits down. And I couldn't help but ask, but what has you in a good mood today? He said, I just left my job. I can't stand those people. I basically went in there, cussed everybody out, and told them where they can kiss me. So I kind of giggled under my breath because, I knew he was joking, but also he was kind of serious. But then he put his 401k statement on the desk with his retirement account balances on there. And he asked me, can you help me get my money out? I don't want to deal with those people at the job. They irritate me. I don't have a good relationship with the human resource department anyway, but can you do it? And I looked down and it was about $1.2 million. And I said, yeah, sure. We can open up an IRA. I could put the money in a tax deferred account. And before I could even finish my sentence, he cussed me off and he says, no. I don't want to open up a new investment account or nothing like that. I want to put it into my savings account. And I asked him, I said, well, how old are you again? He said he wanted to see that $1 million check in his hand and he didn't want anyone to touch it. He said, I don't want to do nothing with it. I just want to get my check. Let me think about it. I know you're here. You want the money to stay here, but no, I want to make sure it's in my hands. So I asked him another question. I said, are you going to be working again? He said, probably not. I think this is it for me. I'm not going back. I said, okay. All right. I said, I can do it, but as a professional, I wouldn't recommend putting it into a savings account. That's a lot of money to be put into a savings account. Just FDIC by itself is a limit is 250, let alone putting 1.2 million, but that's a whole nother conversation. And I said, we can actually go over some of the options. Now that you're not with your employer, they're not going to manage your assets. And in some cases, they'll even get you out of the investment and put you into cash just so they're not liable for any losses that may be in that account. So your investments are no longer growing, they're no longer contributing, so it's really just sitting there. But like I said before, you know, the offer is I could take you on as a client. It'll roughly be maybe 1% per year. That comes with a financial planning. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can always come here. We'll rebalance your account. We'll make sure all your finances are in order, whether it's from your insurance, your mortgage, your auto, you know, all those things. We manage your whole financial life. Anything with a dollar sign, we pretty much take care of, right? And if anything happens in the future or anything changes, you know, we could take care of that for you. And I tell them what I tell most clients. You know, it's better to have a financial plan and put your mistakes on paper than to make those mistakes in real life. Just a little bit of plan. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be 80 pages. It just may be one page of suggestions, right? And he looked at me and he says, there's no way I'm going to pay you 1% of my money that I work so hard for. It's not going to happen. And I looked, I was a little shocked, you know, a little brash, a little blunt. You know, if you don't know, I'm about 6'8", you know, 200 and some odd pounds. So I was like, okay, it's okay. I didn't argue. But one thing about me, I understand the truth doesn't need defending. If he doesn't want to pay the 1%, he doesn't have to pay the 1%. I'm not going to strong arm him and saying why I'm good, why he needs me, why I should. I am not here to convince anybody to do anything with me. I just say, okay, if you feel what you're doing is better, so be it. And I think a lot of people think about advisor fees as something that's taken away from their investments and not knowing that your advisor is actually the one that's helping you grow your investments. Their job is to actually bring you value, not take value away. But I mean, we're not working for free. We have years and years of experience that we can pour into you that you get at the fraction of the price, because I've invested in my education thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to make sure I have this information available when people are making these crucial decisions. So if your investments grow by, let's say, 10%, your financial advisor only takes 1%, it still grows 9%. This is hypothetical, but what I'm saying is that, if you don't know what you're doing and you're buying and selling and you're racking up all these fees for no reason because you think you're a day trader, then you lose all your money. You just lose all your money. And it's just a sad scenario, right? But everyone doesn't just lose their money buying and selling stocks. They make these poor financial decisions. And I can see that he was starting to get upset. He was already emotional from his job. So, you know what? I just said, hey, okay, you got it. So I went online. I had him put in his 401k login to access the account. He printed out the withdrawal paperwork and I walked him through the paperwork. On most withdrawal paperworks, I want you to understand this, they have a box that says that on a withdrawal from the company, it's going to withhold 20% for taxes. It's really like a safety net, because if somebody gets, let's say, $1 million in this case, and they turn it into cash, they never pay the taxes. They just kind of run off with it and the government never gets their money and the IRS has to track them down. They have to spend extra resources trying to find them, you know, subpoenas to get this guy in court and all this other stuff. And they don't want to do that. So the least they can do is withhold 20% of the withdrawal. They're going to send that to the IRS for you. So 20% of your taxes are already going to be paid, right? And when it came to that part, I stopped. I pointed down on the paper and said, listen. If you withdraw this money, I know you have about $1.2 million, but they're not going to give you the whole amount. They're going to put some of it toward taxes, because you're going to have to pay taxes on this money. It's ordinary income. So they're going to take $200,000 and they're going to send it to the IRS for you. And he kind of shrugs it off and he says, okay, well, I know they're going to pay taxes. And in my mind, I know what that means. He didn't hear that they're only going to hold 20% of his taxes and pay to the IRS. He heard that his only taxes is going to be 20% and the employer is going to take that money and pay it for him. That's not the case, ladies and gentlemen. His tax implication is going to be far greater than 20%. They're only going to withhold 20%. See, what happens is we're used to paying 20% per year, depending on your income level, 20% to 25, maybe even 30. So we think, okay, that should cover all the taxes. Not when you're talking about $1.2 million. That's a whole different tax bracket, okay? But then I let him know there's going to be more taxes that you're going to have to pay if you're taking all this money out. Once again, he starts cutting me off like, I know. I just want to get the money. We can hurry this up, please. Well, when he gets down to the section of which banking he wants, we get into that. We talk about the routing number, the account number. I fill out all that section for him and the rest of the documentation. So let this be your warning. If you're taking withdrawals out of your 401k or you intend to take large withdrawals out of your 401k, make sure that you speak to a financial advisor and also that you speak with an accountant, because sometimes those boxes can be a little bit confusing. If you don't get the accounting and routing number correct, it could be sent to another bank and it's hard to get that money back if ever. If you don't check the right boxes, it can delay the time that you get your money. And unfortunately, a lot of people withdraw from their 401k because there is an emergency. And most of the time, these emergencies are time sensitive, but your 401k program doesn't care about how time sensitive your withdrawal is. So making sure you get that documentation right is going to be very important. So as I finished up the paperwork, I let him know, kind of like all the little disclosure things. All right, we're done. You know, the processing time usually takes around 4 to 6 weeks. They got to verify your address. They're actually going to send you a check to your house, and then you're going to take this check and you're going to come in and deposit it into the bank. Once again, he just kind of shrugs it off, says, okay. And just like clockwork, 5 to 6 weeks later, he's in the line. I go up to meet him. He's like, hey, how are you doing? He says, hey, I got my check. Thank you so much for all the work that you did. I know I was emotional. I was just leaving my job. You know, things were happening, but I really appreciate you helping me do the paperwork and getting this check. And I said, okay, are you going to make the deposit? He says, yep, make it into my savings account right now. And I said, hey, did you consider opening up that account? He's like, no, I don't want to open up the account. Like I said, I just want to do what I came in here to do. But I do appreciate everything that you do. Yes, sir. Like I said, I just want to make sure everything goes smoothly. I kept it very cordial. I said, congratulations on your retirement. I hope everything works out for you. Now, fast forward a year later, he comes back into the bank and he schedules a meeting with me. And I'm looking at my calendar like, why does he want to meet with me? And guess what? It's a letter from his accountant. And I look and it's kind of strange. I said, I didn't even know you had an accountant. He said, yeah, I have an accountant now. And I asked, well, did you have an accountant back then? He says, no, I didn't have an accountant back then, but I got a bill from the IRS saying that I owed a bunch of taxes. So I reached out to an accountant and they kind of want to know what some of the transactions that I did. So, you know, I just did the paperwork. There's no transactions here. I just kind of helped you fill out the paperwork. Really, all you did was deposit into the savings accounts. So you just need a transaction statement from the bank. He's like, oh, okay. Now, what do you think? The accountant told me I have to pay $350,000 in taxes. Like, what do you think of that? You think that she's trying to rip me off? He said, that's almost half of my 401k. And I said, well, that sounds about right. And he started to get kind of heated once again. And I had to be very blunt with him. I said, that's what I was trying to tell you a year ago. And in these situations, I really don't like to shame clients at all. So I tried to show him a little bit of grace. I let him know that maybe on that day, emotions were high. You were thinking that your job was messing you over and finally you were free. And it felt as if somebody was trying to get a portion of the stuff that you worked so hard for. And I definitely get it. So I broke down the same things with him as I broke down with you today, that if you're younger than 59 and a half, you're going to pay an early withdrawal penalty of 10%. That's why I asked him how old he was. If you have $1.2 million, that's $120,000 just in penalties. I'm not saying that goes to your taxes. I'm not saying that goes to your retirement account. That is just a penalty where you just lose. I don't know anybody who wants to pay $120,000 in a penalty. Okay. So it was as if he made $1.2 million that year, including what he made in salary. So at $1.2 million, you're at the top of the tax bracket, which you're about 37% plus. So you're looking at $444,000 in taxes on top of the penalty. So if we talk about this in years, he lost one out of every 2 years that he worked because of one emotional decision. And that's why I tell clients all the time, you don't want to be working for 15, 20 years and drop the ball at the very end. Now, this is not to scare you and say you can't take money out of your 401k, because there is a way to get around it. I think there's even some new legislation where you could take out $1,000 without incurring a penalty. Now, there's some caveats to that. It's very new. So the details are a little bit fuzzy. What I mean by fuzzy is that the execution may look a little bit different than what the law looks like. So it's very important that you take that slowly. So we won't speak on that here. We'll have a whole nother episode as far as that $1,000 outlet. But what I was trying to tell him is that he didn't want to listen. So I want you to tune in here so you don't fall victim to the same issue. When you're taking money out of a tax-deferred account, there is what they call a rollover opportunity. What a rollover is when you take money from one account and you put it into another account. Now, the caveat here is that the account you're taking from needs to be the same type that you're going to roll into. So 401k retirement plans are what they call tax-deferred accounts. So you can roll 401k retirement plan money into another tax-deferred individual retirement account. If you roll it into a Roth IRA, there's going to be some penalties there. So here, we're talking about a traditional IRA, and this is what I mean by small caveats. If I would have just said, you could roll it into an IRA, you pick up a Roth IRA, you roll it over, you're still getting the tax penalty. You're like, hey, Mr. Christian Finance said that if I roll it over into an IRA, it's not going to be taxed. That's not what I'm saying. It's a traditional IRA. And a lot of the things we talk about, there's little caveats you need to follow. So even if you listen to this program, there's a lot of vital information, but there may be some things that are very specific to what you are doing that you need to take care of to ensure that your mission is completed successfully. So think about this. With that one suggestion that took you 10 seconds to listen to, this man could have saved over $500,000. And I'm going to say that again. If he would have just listened to the one sentence I shared with you all and what I was trying to tell him in that office, he could have saved almost $500,000. Now, he will have to pay taxes on that money eventually, but how much he paid was because of this irrational decision. So let's do the math, ladies and gentlemen. He loses $550,000 because he didn't want to pay 1% per year for a financial advisor. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have to hire a financial advisor to execute this rollover, but a financial advisor will help you get it done. And the liability falls on him and not you. Now, let me do something special for you. Do you know how many years he could have paid for a private financial advisor and still broke even? You ready? I can even give you the numbers. 1% of 1.2 is $12,000. He lost $550,000. So how many times can $12,000 go into $550,000? 45.8 times. So 45.8 years, almost 46 years, or let's just say 45 and a half years, he could have paid for a financial advisor and still broke even. So he's worried about $12,000 and he lost $550. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call reaching over dollars to grab pennies. This man let his ego, he let his pride, also he let his emotions stop him from living in the retirement that he had worked so hard to enjoy. He can't go back and work those years. And as a certified private wealth advisor professional, I've dealt with high net worth individuals and I know that one decision can destroy your retirement life. You're smart. You're educated, you have a great career, but most of the time your career is not in finance. If you're listening to this show, you did not spend your last 22 years, 25 years in finance. You had other skills, you had other talents that made you important. But just because you graduated summa cum laude, or you had a master's degree, or that you took a business course, that you are well-versed in this world of finance. So this man could have done everything right. He could have contributed to his 401k. He could have got the employer match. He could have made additional contributions or made up the contribution limits or put up to the contribution limits or maybe even the catch-up provision when he was over 50 years old. And then guess what? He throws $120,000 away just in penalties. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. 1%, 120, that's 10 years. he could have hired a financial advisor for 10 years just in the amount of money he paid in penalties. Isn't that crazy? So brothers and sisters, at AB Ridgeway Wealth Management, it is more than just stocks and bonds. We need to get it out of our heads that investing or financial planning is just about buying and selling bonds on the stock market. Financial planning is just that, planning for your finances. If this man would have just taken some time to sit down with me, discuss his options, and know the pros and cons with the financial decision that he's making, he would have saved just over $500,000. Now, once again, what if he needed the money? He was going to pay the taxes anyway. That's fine. But the problem comes in is that he did not know what those tax implications were going to be. And that's the scary part, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think that if he knew he was going to pay $120,000 penalty, if he could have just waited a couple more years for him to reach 59 and a half, do you think he would have paid it? No. People would have waited the 2 years. They would have saved $120,000. Why? Because that's $60,000 he gets to keep per year just for waiting until he's 59 and a half. And I knew exactly what was going through his head, right? My money, my choice. And he's right. He gets to choose whatever he wants for his money and what he wants to do. But just because he made the decision doesn't mean I can protect him from all the consequences of those decisions, or that he's even aware of the consequences of those decisions. Now, remember, I gave you the example about the drowning man. Sometimes you have to let people learn the hard way. Now, is there anything that he could do? You know, it's already past almost a year now. You know, what can he do? Maybe he can save it. Maybe the accountant can do something, right? Some razzle dazzle. Well, no. Usually you have a window of about 60 days. It's what they call an indirect rollover, meaning you take possessions of the fund, but then you manually put it into another tax deferred account once you realize you maybe made a mistake or you didn't need to take that much money out of your 401k. You could roll the remainder over and you only have to pay taxes on the money you take out. And if you didn't take any money out, you didn't have to pay any taxes. And I know what you're thinking in the back of your mind. Well, what about the 20% that the employer put toward his money? That's true. The employer did take $200,000 to put toward his tax bill, and that did help contribute. That is why his tax bill was around $350,000, because his employer had already taken out that $200,000 and put it toward his taxes. 401ks can be very tricky. They differ from different employers. How they withdraw, when you could withdraw, when you're vested, when you're not vested. So it's always important to reach out to a financial advisor, get some professional help so you can save yourself some money just by some simple planning. And I think financial advisors are not recognized enough for the decisions that they make that avoid large financial penalties as much as they are about making money in the stock market. Think about it. If I can save this guy $500,000, how much value as a financial advisor do I have? The piece of advice is very small. It could fit in one sentence. You should roll it over into an IRA, right? But that one sentence is worth $120,000. Why? Because he paid it. We talk about economics all the time. How much is something worth? It's worth what somebody is willing to pay for it. And this man was willing to pay $120,000 not to hear it, making the information worth $120,000. See, my clients understand that my value is in my foresight and my ability to plan for retirement issues that they may not have considered. And they know that when we're making a decision that I'm going to go through my Rolodex of information from the past 10 years plus, and I'm going to give them the best answer possible. Now, is it going to be the perfect decision? No. Our job is not to make perfect decisions. It's to make the one with the highest probability of success and to continue to make good decisions based on new information. Now, what information should we base our financial decisions on? That's why we have a financial advisor, because we are going to pick the information that really matters. We're not going to scare you on the news. We're not going to scare you what's on TV. We are going to provide you the information you need to make the best decision for your family. So if you're listening right now, you want to maximize your success, and if you're retired or recently retired or even considering retirement, I want you to reach out and I want you to schedule a free consultation. There's no obligation. So this is what I don't want. I don't want you to be like this man. Go and get your check for $1 million. You smile at it for a week before you make that deposit. And then next year, you're crying because you have a huge tax bill just because you didn't want to seek professional help. Our firm is 100% virtual. So no matter where you are in the continental United States, we can help you out. So all you need to do is go into the description. There's going to be a link. I want you to click the link. I want you to schedule a consultation. I want you to get on my calendar and I want you to talk to me. The first meeting is going to be very simple. I don't want you to bring me a million pieces of paperwork. I don't want you to have all these financial sheets and Excel and things of that nature. I want to know about you. I want to learn more about you, your situation, and how we can identify some of the top three things that are going to be the most crucial things going forward. So if you're rolling over your 401k, we need to talk about the traditional IRA. We need to talk about the fees that are associated with your 401k. So if it's in your best interest to keep it where it's at or to roll it over into your own name so you can have access to it whenever you want, so you don't have to keep going through this process over and over and over. It costs you absolutely nothing, but maybe 20 to 30 minutes of your time. And only one or two things can happen, okay? One, you realize you're doing the right thing. And I'll be honest enough to tell you that, you know what, you're doing the right thing. I think you're on the right track. Or we identify a problem that can cost you thousands of dollars and we'll plan for that. Okay. So you can go to www.abrwealthmanagement.com. Once again, the link is in the description and schedule that now. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, make sure that you subscribe. And if you learned something today, I want you to put it down in the comments so those who are just scrolling through, they can see what you were so intrigued about in this episode. Just as a reminder, every Monday we are going to have a Bible study episode where we go over a scripture that talks about finances, money, or how to manage it. And every Wednesday, just like today, we're going to go over a financial planning topic, just like the 401k plan, how it works, distributions and withdrawals. And on Friday, we'll cover a news topic that you can use and you could talk to your friends about over the weekend about money. So once again, make sure that you subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes, and also sign up for our newsletter where we will remind you of all upcoming episodes and fellowship with hundreds of Christian investors just like you who want to live rich and righteously. Well, that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.